Hi, this mentoring is going to be about the energy of love, but from a different angle, a different perspective. We are going to work with the astral level and its perception of the love energy. So, love exists on many different levels. We can say that everything is love because the whole universe is essentially unconditional oneness of love energy. But if we translate it into more of the specific energetics of the energy field of a human being, right, of the mechanics sort of different levels and frequencies, we can say that it's our fluid bodies that are meant to receive this energy of love the way that we can comprehend it, although everything is love. So we know that our emotional body experiences love energy as I either like or I don't like. I'm into something, I'm attracted to it, or I'm repulsed by it, I don't like it. But that's a dualistic perspective on love. There's all sorts of variations like comfort or joy or pleasure. Like those are all variations on the emotional level of the love energy itself. Then if we go frequency-wise a little bit further up, to another fluid level in our energy field that is called the astral body or the astral level. That is the level that is capable of experiencing love in a way of deep feeling or compassionate feeling. And of course, it has its opposites, the very strong charge of the same love, but turned in the opposite direction. That becomes hatred. Anger is a little bit different. It's more fire emotion, but it's a little bit different. Hatred is pretty much like energy of love that is twisted the other way, counterclockwise, so it's a repellent. So if on the emotional body, it translates as I don't like and I'm repulsed by, on the astral level, it translates into I hate. And then we mentally will add to it a lot of times judgment or some sort of a story as to why we hate. But that energy, if somebody says, oh, I really don't like this color, that's an emotional charge. But I just hate that color. That is an astral charge on exactly the same negative polarity of the love frequency. So we are looking at the astral body. If we go one level further up to the unconditional love body, it's even called unconditional love body because that's what it experiences, right? It experiences love in its pure sense, right? It feels love as just this oneness and yummy energy of connectedness. That's where there are variations of love like peacefulness, like grace, like spaciousness. Those are all versions of that pure unconditional love. And it doesn't necessarily have a negative. It just has more like emptiness or separation, I guess, as the negative. Like if the person is closed off to that energy, they wouldn't have the opposite of it. They just wouldn't feel it. So today we want to stay within the middle part, not the emotional, the lower, not the unconditional, the higher, but the middle range of the astral. So on the astral, love is still to some extent personal, but it's in relationship with something else. It is definitely, absolutely still in duality. It's not a pure oneness energy. It is the energy that's down here that is limited to the parameters of our perception. So your astral body and the planetary astral body are linked. We're not as separate as we think, even if we actually think that planet has no effect on us, it still does. Doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. So I assume everybody that's in the group here do understand that planet does affect us, but there are a lot of people on the planet right now that don't get that concept. So what that means is that whatever is going on within us that we somehow don't want to own, don't want to take responsibility for, that energy doesn't go anywhere, it's still ours, but because we build up so much of it, we would not be able to function. We would be so stuffed up and sort of constipated with that whole energy that we wouldn't be able to like live. We would actually stop our development altogether and probably die out as species. So in its love and kindness our planet as a simulation that is in existence here that we are part of, created this specific loop, sort of how to help out humankind that can't seem to process all its own generated feelings. It takes it on, the planet takes on some of our feelings and sort of stores it on the cloud. Just like in your computer, if you have too many files, your memory will be filled up and then it can't function, right? It will just stop freezing and eventually won't even turn on because there is no operational memory. It cannot process the information that you put into it. So if you have limited memory on your computer, which most of us do, of course, unless you have access to, I don't know, field of computers, you know, if you just have a normal computer, you would be limited. So that it's more convenient to put that extra information on the cloud, right? On some other storage space somewhere that is communal, that other people share as well. And let's just say you have your own compartment in there with your own code, but you know, a lot of it is actually not. Like all social media, we don't have necessarily specific limitation. Their information gets blended. And it's somewhere else that we now are influenced by. So our current predicament with the technology in a computer direction, with the intelligence that is starting to develop through that artificial means, in how we store information on the cloud and how the systems that collect that data now begin to affect us, all of that together is a perfect mirror to what is going on and has been going on for just centuries and thousands of years with humankind, and how the planet, at the time Gaia and now Pi as well, to some extent maintaining this energy for us. Pi is much less into that idea than Gaia was. So Pi is trying to get people to be responsible to take back whatever it is that they projected. So I'll describe the dynamic a little bit. When we have an emotion or a feeling or some sort of a reaction that is very strong and for some reason not owned, we're saying, oh, I shouldn't feel this way, or that just feels too bad, I don't want to, or somebody else is at fault, so there's blame. Anything that's not owned one way or another. It's a negative energy that builds up. And at some point, we put it outside of us, and the planetary field on the astral level, same frequency level, so that's why we call it level in the body, by the way, takes that on. So if you always wonder, like, what's the difference between body and the level, body is something that's contained within your energy bubble. So your astral body is literally yours. Your emotional body is literally yours. But it exists within a frequency range of the same level of the planet. So you can say that astral level is a frequency range of the astral body of Earth. And your own astral body is a little teeny bubble within the astral body or astral level frequency of the planet. So because both are bodies and it's too many words, I tend to usually refer to the planetary thing as more of a level, as in frequency range. And body usually means more of your own. So astral body that you have that had projected stuff that it could not contain anymore, because if it did, it will stop functioning. So then the planetary body, overall astral level, took that on. That enters into the astral level frequency and becomes what is known as morphogenic fields. So there are amazing, wonderful, supportive, and super powerful and empowering morphogenic fields, like when people pray together, when people radiate compassion together or healing energy for something. That's all astral level energy, it's all love. But it's love in its more purer form within the duality that amplifies the morphogenic fields. It still creates excess that gets broadcasted out onto the server, onto the cloud, and then the planetary server, essentially the simulation itself, then maintains it. And because so many people, let's say, praying together or choosing to work on specific healing together, they're contributing that energy together. Now, that creates an awesome morphogenic field, which then starts to affect others. So We can stop a war by praying together. We can stop some sort of a disaster by doing that. Not necessarily Earth kind of a catastrophe type of a disaster, but, you know, self-created, human-created for sure. We can also lessen the effect or add support. Like, let's say if rain is needed, rain is possible to be made this way. Or if flooding is happening, stopping the flooding is possible this way. Not completely, but by essentially diverting the Earth's energy. Because we're asking the planet to work with us. So morphogenic fields have incredible effect once they're potent enough to then broadcast out. So we put energy in, and then at some point morphogenic field puts energy out. And that affects us. Now, the same works in the negative, because we're in duality here, right? So the negative looks like somebody had blame and hatred and all sorts of negatively twisted love energy that they didn't want to own. They broadcast it out. The server, the planetary astral body, picks it up, and now it's sitting in there. And let's say if it was only one human being, it will just sit in there. It would literally act like a cloud storage with the code of that person, that only they will have access to it. But that's pretty rare, and only one person has one specific frequency and nobody else on Earth does, right? Probably never happens, because species have certain similarities, similar experiences, similar reactions. So when somebody puts out the energy on the astral level of the planet, chances are there are already other people's energies like that in there. It starts to click together. It unites. It starts to build the field. And if you have people that are literally riled up in a specific negative energy imprint, you know, like inciting a violence or riot or something like that, or communally hating a specific group of other people or something, religious, let's say, differences and whatever else. I mean, human beings have a lot of intricacy in their hatred. But let's just say whatever that might be, that gets projected, united, amplified, and then starts to affect other people. It can affect in a way that somebody who has similar energy stored within them, but maybe not activated to that extent, become activated. So somebody who maybe had some judgment but was not in full-blown hatred and violence can actually become activated into hatred and violence by a negative field. Same thing possible the other way. Somebody who had an inkling of compassion and kindness, but maybe weren't quite strong enough to fully hold that, can walk into a positive field that will amplify that little spark in them, and then they will choose that. That a lot of times actually used to happen with Christianity. I mean, it's an organization now that's more political, but if we think of the more pure essence of it, when it was going around the world, it was trying to bring the compassion energy, even though, of course, that has its own agenda. Same thing probably with any other religion in general that has the unity of Godhood in there. As soon as we have not many gods but one God, that oneness, in a sense, is about compassion. So something like that is a strong morphogenic field. So somebody who might be tempted to be in a negative but has some inkling towards the positive could have that positive spark amplified by a morphogenic field like that, that then they feel like they belong to. But since I started from the negative, I'll go finish that component. In a negative sense, of course, if somebody had already some judgment, something, whatever, and then there's this big field that's happening that's amplifying that, they will be more prone to now be affected and even act out of the direction given by that lower morphogenic field. Okay, so morphogenic fields are group fields of projected or rejected energy that we store on the cloud because we did not own, or we choose to give because we have excess. So in a positive, it's usually just, you know, if somebody's like generating love and joy, at some point that just will be broadcasted and some morphogenic field on Earth will pick it up. If it's hatred or some negative energy, it usually gloms up together with other people's similar type of energy. So the mimicking of that in a more materialistic sense is what we're having with social media right now and the news channels and all of that. It's essentially broadcasting the type of morphogenic field that is convenient to its survival, but meanwhile, it is affecting and triggering action in individuals who are wobbly, who are not holding their own mod. So back to the astral level and the love energy and the hatred. The love and hatred are polarization in duality. They're supposed to exist. That's actually part of being here. Hatred is desire to erase. So when we're angry, that's different. Anger is more like desire to hurt, to damage. But when somebody's in hatred, they don't necessarily want to make something suffer. They want to make it not exist because its existence is threatening to their understanding of reality. So that's how Solar Console sees hatred. Hatred is like when somebody cannot handle a certain thing in existence, like it breaks their perception of reality, they start hating it as a means of wanting it not to be there. And we, of course, emotionally give it a whole other charge of special negative that kind of rides on the coattails of that desire to erase. So that's what love and hatred are as two opposites on the astral level. Mind you, on the unconditional love level, that does not exist. So it's only we're talking about duality. Love is universal, you know. Hatred is the separation virus. So because this planet is the infected planet, we have separation here in the infected sense, because some degree of separation is not not an infection. So let me explain what I mean. Overall, when you go from dimension 6 and up, you have much more oneness. From 6 and down, the second half of the universe, there is separation. Separation as in duality. That's normal. That's supposed to be. That's part of the creation process. That's how we set it up in order to learn by having two opposites that sort of, you know, do something, spark together. Dynamic interplay of them happens, so like they make love to each other. And then they have a baby. The baby is the creation. The creation is something new that we then contribute to the universe. So that's a natural setup. That's how we made it up. But what the virus is, the separation virus, that's when the separation became more insidious and being started to get stuck in it because they started to polarize. So in order to get out of separation, you have to keep the individuality, but remember oneness. And the two things together become individualized oneness, which is actually what propels the soul to the next level. When the virus hit, what, and by virus I mean separation virus, as in literally the consciousness frequency code virus, what that did, it amplified the polarity of the individuality too far. So much so that the being was not able anymore to return to the oneness. Like they couldn't get that secondary part. And unless both parts are gotten, you cannot progress further up. And that also led to a lot of movements thinking that individuation is a bad thing because that's what created the whole stuckness, which is actually another misconception because that also traps people. Individuation is not a bad thing. It's an awesome thing. It's necessary, in fact, in order to become God, in order to create. But it's meant to be in relationship with oneness. So when there's too much separation of that individuality, and especially beings who went that way that created then bodies that were cloned, which means they just repeated the same brain patterning essentially, instead of modifying and evolving, there was no more means for the even body vehicle to evolve. They got stuck within the range of whatever it is they already know, and they keep wanting to know more. So that's the ultimate entertainment. I want to know more, I want to know more, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more, but I don't want to go deeper and integrate any of it. I don't want to apply it, I just want to know more. So that's like being on a surface but covering a lot of territory. That is the overly electric energy, which then we consider sort of that's what the separation virus is. So back to what I was saying, as love is something that is universal, and the energy of hatred is actually the separation virus. Because if there was no separation virus and we just had separation, there would not actually be hatred. There will be love and sort of like neutrality. But we took it over the line to the extreme opposite with the hatred because this planet has separation virus. So all of us are here, the Starseed Initiative and all the Starseeds are here and the Forerunners that are awakening. We're all working for one reason, essentially, is to upgrade the frequency here so we can cure that virus, which means it's super essential that we clean up our own energy of hatred out of all that we're rejecting and projecting into something that feels harmonious again. So where do you not love yourself enough? because that is the origin point for the hatred, for the opposite of love. Where do you not love yourself enough? Where do you not have your back when you doing something maybe it didn't work out, or where you came just a little short than whatever you hope to behave as or whatever? Where do you not have your own back? Where do you not love yourself enough? So this is the question I will leave you with to contemplate.